10 years ago, the U.S. government under George W. Bush opened the detention camp in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Operations at the base have been controversial ever since, and Gitmo was at the center of one of President Obama's most infamous broken promises.
I have said repeatedly that
we will close the Guantanamo Bay detention camp,
which has damaged our national security interests and become a tremendous recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda,
and determine how to deal with those who have been held there.
That is why I ordered the prison at Guantanamo Bay closed.
Today, Guantanamo is not just a prison. It's a frightening idea, a view of America that puts its own security above all other rights. And it's also, fortunately, unfortunately, indelibly imprinted with the image of Americans as torturers. But Guantanamo has also transformed American law and has had a permanent impact on international law as well. Here to discuss the future of Guantanamo Bay and how it's changed both the law and our society, Vijay Padmanabhan, assistant professor of law at Vanderbilt Law School. And Padmanabhan, also the U.S. State Department of State's chief counsel on Guantanamo under President Bush from 2006 and 2008. So let's address the one part of that question with you, Vijay, and the ways in which Guantanamo ended up transforming our legal system. And international law as well. Are some of these changes permanent?
I think they are. I think one of the things that we realize in the course of this conflict is that you end up running into individuals who you can't prosecute because you're picking them up in circumstances outside your own country. You're not collecting evidence against them. And what are you going to do with those dangerous individuals? So I think both domestically, there's an understanding that there's going to be a need to detain people indefinitely under the laws of war. And I think in terms of international law, a recognition that we need to start to develop better legal rules to avoid the situation where states don't know what they should do when they pick up these people.
And in fact, there was a case in the UK in which they won an out-of-court financial settlement with the British government, accusing British intelligence forces of complicity in abuse and torture because they didn't step in to protect them from Guantanamo Bay guards.
Yeah, I think one thing that we need to be very clear about is the one area in which the law, both domestically and internationally, has always been clear is that you cannot mistreat people that you're detaining. And one of the sad legacies of the post-9/11 era was the fact that governments like the United States and the United Kingdom violated those laws.
As Vijay Padmanabhan, also with us is Brandon Neely. He was an army guard at Guantanamo Bay and openly criticized the camp and what he described as pretty brutal treatment of the detainees. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning.
So I wonder how you feel about this sort of dubious anniversary, 10 years since Guantanamo opened.
Marking the 10-year mark today, I didn't think we would see this day. I actually thought when Obama was elected that the Guantanamo detention facility would be closed. It's, 10 years ago, I was proud of what I was doing and thought I was actually making a difference and putting these hardened terrorists, away, and they were getting what they deserved. And now here 10 years later, that's just, I'm ashamed of what I took part in and my actions there and the actions of the people that I served with. And, Guantanamo has not only destroyed the lives of so many, detainees and innocent people that are held there, but it's destroyed a lot of the people that served there, a lot of the military members as well that took part in these actions and then realized that they did a lot of these actions to innocent people. It's just destroyed their lives as well.
Well, let me ask you, Brandon, do you think, I described Guantanamo as having changed the way people view the United States. Do you think that it has given people the right to view Americans as instruments of torture?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think Guantanamo and the treatment that was there and that continued even after I left and just picking Guantanamo in general to throw the law book out the window, it really threw out the morals, values, and the principles that this country once stood for and fought for. I firmly believe that the only way that we're going to get right back on the track of starting to instill those morals and values and principles is if Guantanamo was closed and that the government actually admits to what happened there. Until then, Guantanamo is always going to be one of the biggest black eyes on the country's history. We can't be hypocrites. Hillary Clinton and Obama stand in front of a podium and condemn places like Iran or these other Middle East countries for the way they treat their people or their detainees. But at the same time, we're doing the same thing. We become the biggest hypocrites in the world.
Well, that's Brandon Neely, who was an army guard at Guantanamo. Let me go back to you, Vijay Padmanabhan. I think President Obama thought he was going to close Guantanamo Bay and didn't realize how difficult that was going to be for him. What are the chances that this detention center will eventually be closed?
I think the chances are very slim at this point for two reasons. I think the first thing is domestically, President Obama thought he was going to get a lot of support from Democrats in Congress with the idea of bringing a significant number of detainees from Guantanamo to the United States for either prosecution in our federal courts or even indefinite detention after having some federal court review. And what he found was that members of Congress, especially Democrats, joined with Republicans in banning the president from bringing detainees from Guantanamo to the United States for any purpose. Add to that an international problem, which is that although President Obama wants to return more than half of the detainees at Guantanamo to their home countries, many of those detainees come from Yemen, where the government has stopped returning people after the underwear bombing incident in December 2009. And the other half come from countries where we feel like we can't return people to those countries because they're at substantial risk of being mistreated after being returned home and can't find a third country to take them. And neither of these two problems appear to be resolved anytime in the near future.
Well, Brandon, let me put that back to you then. You know, they just passed another bill which allows for the indefinite detention of people who are suspected of terrorism, even if they're American citizens, which would argue that there's always going to be a place in American society for a prison like Guantanamo.
Yeah, it's sad to say, but, you know, I think that we're going to be sitting here in 5 and 10 years from now marking the 15th and the 20th anniversary of Guantanamo. I just think Obama didn't do enough to get Guantanamo closed. You know, he signed a piece of paper, but he didn't actually push the issue. And I think that's going to be, you know, it's really going to affect him when it comes to the election.
Vijay Padmanabhan, will Guantanamo always be the place to put inconvenient detainees?
Well, the one thing we can say is President Obama has refused to turn anyone new over. There was some political pressure to send the last detainee in Iraq to Guantanamo Bay, and he resisted that pressure. But for the people there, it might be a real long haul.
Vijay Padmanabhan, that he is assistant professor of law at Vanderbilt Law School, and Brandon Neely, former Army guard at Guantanamo Bay detention camp. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We're talking about 10 years since the opening of Guantanamo Bay, the detention camp in Cuba. I wonder what you think. Do you think Guantanamo Bay will ever close? Give us your thoughts, 8778-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.